This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Today is the birthday of Pastor Carter's mother. She passed away in January, and we were in Canada for that funeral. And then we went to some Central Asian countries a month later. And when I was over there, I found out that my mom was sick, and at the same time, our son, who was traveling with us, got very sick and needed medical attention. And we came back here, and the week I found out, when I came back to the States after that trip, I found out that my mom was doing, seemed to be losing heart, so I went to Canada to visit her. And I visited her for a week. She was in the hospital. And then I left on a Monday morning, and it looked like that the Lord was, she was at the beginning of the end. She was 84 years old. But it looked like it was going to be, you know, kind of a longer process before she left us. So I came home on a Monday morning. I left at 6:30, and I got in New York at 6:30 in the evening. And I got a phone call that evening that Mom was ready to go. And it was incredible to me because I'd just been with her, and it didn't seem it was going to go that fast. So I took my daughter, and we left on a Wednesday, and she died the next day on a Thursday. But I want to talk to you about the remarkable testimony of my mom. I don't know if I've ever spoken about her or my dad, but they both got saved later on in life. And the first time I went to visit my mom in the hospital that first week, when I went to her bed and I said, "Mom," I said, "are you afraid?" And she looked at me and she said, "To be afraid is a sin." And I looked down at her. When she fell asleep, I picked up her charts because, you know, the medical charts happened to be there, and you would too. And I read them. And they talked about this very pleasant and gracious lady. And I saw the way the nurses came in and that they took care of her. And she was a nurse, so of course she got the royal treatment. Police officers don't get tickets, and nurses get the extra back rub. And they loved her. They cried when they'd leave her room. And I smiled at this lady, and I thought about this lady. She got saved in her late 50s. And her life should have been, by the time she reached 60 years old, a complete waste. Her life should have been a story of a life that you really wouldn't have wanted to have lived. Her life was one of, started out very well, but through the course ended up in a very unhappy marriage with my dad. And they, when by the time I got to university, were going to, wanted to separate. My dad lost everything. He went bankrupt, and they lost all their personal finances. And at that time, my mom also went through a very bad spell. You may have heard Pastor Carter speak about it in the morning, but she had several back surgeries and lived in pain. And a combination of things sent her mind to go down to a very dark place. And in that place of utter darkness and despair, where she lived for quite a while, someone gave her the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And she read that book. And when I came back from university on a break, she wanted me to read this book. And she didn't have a lot of words to say to me, just sort of like, read this book. And at this point, she was bedridden in her life and couldn't get out of bed. And I read the book, and slowly she began to find people that would had read the book and were like-minded, and they began to pray with her. And she began a journey that is nothing short of miraculous. She was a lady that really should have lived with so much regret. She said later in life that if she could live her life again, how she would have raised us all differently. But she was a lady who, in the end, her favorite verse was, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And if I heard her repeat that verse one time, I heard her repeat it 200 times. And I know that she, the thoughts and the fears and the fear of losing a sound mind or be able to love again was something that I think hounded her for many years. And she would just take this scripture and say it over and over again. And gradually I began to see a lady who God began to miraculously transform. It wasn't that she was a person that was well known or a person that, you know, of influence. She just became like a bulldog with a bone concerning scripture and concerning her Jesus, as she called him. And she began a change that was nothing short of miraculous. She was a lady that should have many times over given in to regret. She looked at the lives of her children and knew that struggles they had, some of it was caused by her own hand. And yet, because she never stopped opening her heart to Jesus, he came, and he not only gave her a sound mind, he put a sparkle and a life and a brightness in her that was truly remarkable. That when you met this lady, she lit up the room. When you met this lady, she was so tuned into people and so full of love. She just joyed in your presence. My mom's one abiding interest after Christ came into her life was people. And when she zeroed in on you, you were her sole focus. There was no story you could not tell her that didn't interest her to the nth degree, and that she would not tell someone else because she loved to, not in a malicious way, but her interest was people. And she was a lady who started praying. She was a woman who decided that nothing was out of the reach of God's arm and love. And that who decided that instead of giving in to fear and regret in her life, she would turn all her energy to prayer. And so she began to pray for her family. When I said to her, Mom, I think Dad is a little lost with you not being home, she looked at me and she said, I love him. And it was a testimony of how God took a marriage of two people in their 60s and made it a love story. It's how God totally restored a marriage, one going north and the other going south. But God intervened. She was the first one in our family to receive the Lord. And I can tell you that my dad and all four of us are saved today. Amen. When I was with her, I said, Mom, I tried another tactic. I said, Mom, are you afraid? You know, sometimes people are not afraid to go to heaven. They're just afraid of the process it would take, the dying part. And she said to me, no, it's all peace, joy, and Jesus. And there was no fear in her. There was, at the end, a glory in her that as her physical body began to depart, her spirit got brighter and brighter. And the closer that she got to heaven, the more her wordless testimony of speech was taken from her, grew stronger and stronger in the room. And that was because the Lord himself came into this hospital room. I started calling it a hotel room because I felt it was a place she was leaving to go, checking out of to go home. But in this room was a sense of such incredible presence of God that people wanted to just come and sit there. So we would all take turns of going and sitting in the room just to read there because there was a presence in this room that was undeniable. When I returned the second time and she could barely talk, I saw that everyone who came through the room, her eyes were searching hungrily for someone. You see, I have one of my brothers had backslid, and she had never stopped praying for him. He had walked with the Lord, and then he backslid. And a dear friend of mine told me that when I went to visit your mom, every day she would say, "Now we're going to pray for him. We have to pray for him." You know, I thought about in 2 Timothy, Paul says that do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. And you see, my mom, she never had, when she wanted people to pray for people, there was never any shame involved. It was like, this is where he's at. Now we're going to pray to a God who answers prayer and who's going to change him, who's going to go after him and restore him. And there was never a shame in her. It was like, I was who I was, but now Christ is here. And I'm not going to lose hope. I'm not going to despair because that would be to turn my back on God. I know that the enemy would try to shut her down so many times to have her live in regret. But somehow, she latched onto Jesus and he would give her such a hope and a joy when that name was said. There's a scripture that says in 2 Timothy 1 that Paul is an apostle by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And I thought that was so much, Mom. A lady called by Jesus, an apostle means sent forth, a person sent forth because Christ has come into their life and now is sending them forth to love in his name and to pray in his name and to touch in his name according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And it was like somehow she was not going to be denied the life that was the promise given to her, that you could have life in Christ Jesus, and that it was a promise and she wanted to receive it. And somehow when all would get dark, when there would be so much despair, and when her mind and everything would want to shut down with regret, somehow because Christ was in her, the promise of life in Christ Jesus would buoy her up and cause her to lift up her head and her voice one more time and begin to pray and say, "Lord, you are the author of life. You are the promise of life. It is in you, Jesus. And I can't sink down below to the level of despair. You've rescued me from that. And if you've taken me from that, I believe you. And everyone I pray for, Lord, you will touch the death in every situation." And so she wasn't ashamed to say, pray for him, pray for them. It's like God was saying, "Look, this is the human condition." And I reached down and I was able to take you, Joe, my mom's name, from the depths of despair and bring you into life. And I'm going to give you that kind of faith. What I did for you, you will do for others. And so she would have everybody pray unashamedly. It says in Timothy that if we are partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, it says we will be according to the power of God. And I saw that in my mom. That when you're a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, in other words, there are trials and tribulations come because of the gospel's sake. God says there's going to be an equal amount of God power for the gospel affliction. And I saw that when her family would turn against her, because when she turned to the Lord, they didn't like it. I don't know why. It seems like when somebody finally gets back up on their feet in their right mind, for some people, they take that as a threat. But she just began to be like a bulldog. And she hung on to her Jesus. And at the end of her days, a glory came into that place. And I saw, when you walked into this room, you couldn't help but pray. You couldn't help but speak about the Lord. I saw her and my dad hold hands, and they would talk, and it would be like that they had this uninterrupted love story their whole life. The day she died, they took her out of the room that she was in, and they said, "We're going to take your mom to another place." And it was one of the most beautiful room in the hospital. It was it looked like a hotel room, had its own easy chairs and kitchenette and beautiful bed with a headboard. And my brother, the prodigal, had come home to see her. And when he walked in that room, all my brothers and sisters, there's four of us, we knew, "God, your presence in this place, something mighty is going to happen." And so we all left the room. And when we came back in that room, I can't describe the exquisite joy on her face. I cannot describe the release and the joy and the peace in his. And my brother took up a guitar and he began to sing all those gospel songs with an anointing. We sang one of them here tonight. And when he would begin to sing to her, he sang to her. He just sang to her. We all melted away. And he began to sing those gospel songs. And she, lying on the bed, God totally reconciled the both of them, and she knew it was well with his soul. The nurses would come to the door, and they would stand there, and they'd just look. From all over the hospital, they would come, and they would stand in the doorway and look in what was happening in this room. In this room, we were all gathered round on the last day, and we were singing like the hallelujah side. And my brother was singing at the top of his lungs with his guitar, and my daughter can really sing. My sister Jackie, who I'd rarely heard sing, had the sweetest voice and would sing to my mama, "Mother's love is a blessing." But sometimes we'd start clapping our hands and stomping our feet, and the whole hospital staff would peer in, and then once they stood in the doorway, they couldn't leave. They wiped the tears away. There had been a cousin of mine came to visit, and he was estranged from his wife. And she worked in the hospital, and they hadn't spoken to each other. And my cousin came and just sat in the room and watched as we worshipped around Mom's bed, and my mom worshipping, and the power of God in that place. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Everybody was being healed. Every heart was being healed. Every heart was being touched. And this cousin was sitting in the room, and his estranged wife happened to be in a hospital worker there, and she walked in the room to see how we were doing, stood stock still, and saw her husband sitting in the chair. They looked at each other, they stood there for 3 minutes, and they walked out together. You see, God had come to honor her. God had come to say, "This is a life I want you to look into. That everyone that I save, I don't want anybody living in the wasted emotions of regret. I do not want lives lived consumed by what could have been. But I have come and I have given you the promise of life in Christ Jesus. And there is no situation that I will not heal. That if you will call out to me, I will do great and mighty things, whether through your life or through your death." When people want to know, "What is your life accomplished?" Say, "I don't know. I'm not dead yet." For Christ will work up till the very last moment. He will work powerfully in our life, and I saw him work powerfully into her eternal life. She passed from life to life. When we were around her hospital bed, and all around her, all she could see were the faces she prayed for and the glory of Jesus in every face. And there were no regrets. Every fiber of her body was on the bed, and if she could have talked, she was saying, "I love you and I love Jesus." And it was such a glorious homecoming. And when the end finally came, and my daughter Kate lifted up her head to help her breathe the last little bit, we gathered round her bed to sing, and then we began to pray. And I began to pray, and I could all of a sudden see something. I could see that Christ, who had come and walked with her through every step of her life, right through the tormenting times of her mind, right through the broken marriage, right through the heartbreak of children. And he had walked with her every step of the way. And she had decided, no matter what the voices said, she would trust him. She decided that no matter how low she got, there was always prayer that would lift her up. She made a decision that when it got so dark, there was a name of Jesus that could lift her up and bring life into her. And she could pray with faith and pray life into every situation. She saw nothing but a reconciled family, from husband to children to family members to extended family all around her. And I began to pray, and I said, Mom, as he has walked with you in life, so he is present and has been present in this room now for days. He's come to take you by the hand, and he's walking you across the river of death. You are never alone in this life, and you will not be alone at this moment. And as I began to pray and saw that, all of a sudden I saw her eyes light up and the cloud in the film leave them. And all of a sudden, two eyes like two lighthouses in a dark night, full of brilliant white light, shine forth from her eyes. And all of a sudden I knew she saw her Jesus before she left. Her face and her eyes lit up like no earthly light I have ever seen. She saw him as he took her hand and he crossed the river with her. Hallelujah. When she passed away, there was a sense that, Lord, we need a funeral that honors you as you have honored her. And so her pastor came over, and I guess he was expecting he was going through the service with us. But he probably forgot this was like a whole household of ministers. Services don't intimidate us. By the time we got there, we said, listen, this is what we're going to do. You open in prayer, because from then on, it's going to be your son-in-law will talk about Jesus, then it'll be your four children talking about her, and then it'll be any grandchildren that want to get up and testify who she was. Because it's testimony time. We're going to celebrate this life. And at that funeral, filled with people I knew and people I didn't know, I was surprised at the numbers that came. And we did. We got up. We talked about her. We talked about her life as it was. And we talked about who Jesus was and what he did in her life. We talked honestly. There was tears. There was humor. There was my son who got up and said, Mama, that's what we called her. Everybody called her Mama. Mama, part of my heart is being buried with you. My daughter said, Mama, you're my best friend. The four children got up and were able to honor her. Where if Christ had not come into her life, I don't know if all the children would have been at her funeral. You see, he took one life, one broken, dark life, and made it nothing but light by the time he came for her. Age didn't take away her believing power. Age did not take away the ability to become as a little child and let marriage become new, praying become new, mothering become new. Such is the power of our Jesus. She suffered things in her life only to have it all work for good. That when she began to pray, she knew why she had to pray, but she knew who she was praying to. Paul said, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed or triumphed over, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I saw my mom. Everything she committed to him, Jesus was faithful. Jesus answered. Jesus did something in her so that he could do something through her. It was not a perfect life, but it was a radiant life. I tell people, my mother is the most changed person I have ever known when the gospel was preached. I have a legacy now. A lady that was very honest, very loving, and full of light and joy at the end of her days. And I know that you and I want to believe Christ in the same way, for the same people, for the same reasons, that he is worthy, that Jesus will do everything he said he would do. He's looking for someone who will believe him. And there are times, you know, when we go through our personal darkness, we must never, ever give in to the fear and to the regrets that life brings. There is only, that's the work of the enemy. God said that he would come and he would give us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And that is the promise we have, everyone sitting in this place, that we can determine to shake off the fears and the regrets, that we will not let an enemy diminish what Christ can do, no matter what our age, no matter what our life circumstance has been. We will not allow the enemy to diminish the glorious testimony of Christ in us through fear and regret. That no matter how low we get, his name has the power of life in it. It is the promise of life in Christ Jesus. It is a promise given to every believer. And it's a promise we can access by calling on his name. It is a promise that we can live. That every part of death in us and every part of the death around us. Jesus said, I am life. I am the way and the truth and I am life. And if you will pray me into it, if you will pray me down into it, if you will believe that I am life and I alone can give resurrection life to your death, I will be faithful to you. And my mom would be the first to tell you that she wasn't this great woman of faith. She was just a woman that had latched onto a great big Jesus. And that was enough. And as she got older, she got better. As she got older, she got sweeter. As she walked this earth in her latter years, she became a joy. She became the exact opposite of what the enemy wanted her to be. Because she was loved by Jesus. And that love, she opened up to it. She would not let regret shut her down to the promise of life, the promise of love that could transform her. And she becomes such a testimony to me. And so when her funeral was ended, we ended up hearing so many people say, that was the most uplifting funeral I have ever been to in my entire life. My son Jared was in the drugstore. It's a little town in Canada. And a lady said, that was an amazing funeral. My cousin who wasn't there, he said, my wife was there. She said she couldn't believe it. That funeral was so uplifting. The undertaker came and shook Pastor Carter's hand. He goes, I've never seen a funeral like that. There was a celebration in that place. Jesus was honored. And Jesus honored her. There's a scripture said that Jesus Christ has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And I want to hang on to this where it says he's abolished death. He's abolished the death of sin. We who are believers are the only people in the world that have access to a life that is not dominated by sin. That he has abolished death. The power of sin to rule our lives has been broken in Christ. He has abolished the reign of death, the reign of Satan over the life of the believer. And I saw my mom raise up in the power of that and live in that. An ordinary lady, an ordinary older lady who latched on to life and it transformed her. Where she believed that death was abolished through Jesus Christ. And that her passing wasn't from life to death, it was from life to eternal life. That her whole life proved is nothing but life in Christ. And so what she speaks to me, being dead yet speaks, is that my life, Teresa, look into it. You know, there for a season I kind of judged my mom, and the Lord convicted me of that. And I saw those last few days that I spent with her, how when I kind of judged her, and I didn't understand the depth of her faith, how much she really did trust Christ. She wasn't a public person. She was a real human being who learned to pray and trust and love her God. And he came to honor her in her final days. And as I look into her life, it's like, Mom, you are speaking to me and you're going to give me a legacy that you save the best for last, that my days, a walk with Christ means that my days, till he comes for me, whether through in the clouds or if my eyes close in death, that I want to walk like she walked. I want to walk where you get sweeter, you get better, you get more loving, you get more trusting. You are able, when someone says to you, are you afraid, lying on your deathbed, and you look at them and you say, to fear is sin. A warrior right to the end. I thank you for bearing with me to let me share with you my mom. I'm very proud of her. And I have the hope that I see her again. I know there are many of you have gone through this valley of the death of a loved one. And I know that once you go through that experience, it does leave you. You do not leave unchanged by it. And that's a good thing. And I know that when we leave this sanctuary, Jesus is so real. And don't feel you have to be perfect to be a witness. We just have to trust our Jesus with every situation. We just have to ask for the grace to love. We have to ask for grace to be real. And God will come through. And he will work through us in surprising ways. You know, sometimes having to rely on Christ to smile at certain people, that's a smile that can transform them. I found that out. Sometimes to be a loving act towards people who we don't want to love, but we do it in the power of Christ, has a tremendous power in it. Sometimes when we have to trust Christ to walk as he walked in a very real way, because everything in us wants to go a different way, we are preaching the gospel most powerfully we ever can. I've really seen things in a new way in this last few weeks. And I have such hope because I've seen an ordinary life have an extraordinary impact. Because she could trust and pray. And I know we can leave this place. You know, we can all pray. If you know the Lord, you may not feel like you're a good prayer. That's all right. You just ask him, Lord, teach me to pray. Give me the desire to spend time with you. Lord, open my eyes to see all who you are and what you've done for me. Speak to me the hope of the future you have for me. Speak to me how you're going to change me. Speak to me how every mountain you'll move it. Speak to me when the hardest thing that I face at this moment, if I give it to you, Lord, you will change it. You will change me. Lord, there is hope in you. You are the promise of life. I don't have to live in death. My mind does not have to live in regret and fear. Lord, you will come. Only you can change this, and I look to you alone to do it. And great and awesome things come from honest and true prayers. I know we know this in this place, but it's tonight, I feel like as we are reaching out through the radio, God's saying, be real, trust me, cry to me. I will do great and mighty things. I am the promise of life. And I know that we all have areas of death around us, in us, that we need to commit to him and never give up. Never give up. We are praying to the God of life, and he will answer. He will come and be life in that situation. if we are praying and asking for His life to come into places of death, He will come through. I saw that. I saw the miracle of a woman that would not let go of her Jesus. And He honored her by answering every prayer of her heart. I know that as we, this service, we've finished early. And that's probably because the Lord wants us to take maybe something said and lay them on our heart. Something said and lay them on the situation. To believe Him as never before. Not to give up. Not to give in to the fear. Not to give in to what could have been. That our God will make all things new. He will make all things new. He will infuse His life into the situations we give Him. He is an awesome God. He rules and reigns over death. He abolished death. He abolished the rule of sin and Satan in our lives. We have a new beginning only in Christ. But if we are Him, it is our privilege to live a new life with a new beginning every day. I don't want to miss my opportunity. I've seen it in my mom and the power of it. And I commit to wanting to live in the power of it every day. I refuse to get up and have to bear the burden of despair or fear or regret. It's a new beginning in Christ. He is our life. He is the promise of life in Christ Jesus. I know that right now, God, I think, wants us to pray to Him, to lift up situations of death or fear or regret, that we live from now on with no regret and no fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That is ours. By faith, we access all of it. We don't leave the power behind. We have power and strength to believe for everything. We have love enough to transform us, because the Bible says love never fails. And as we pray for that spirit of love, and we begin by faith to love people that were unlovable, it never fails. That's the power of love. That when we open our hearts up to how much Christ loves us, and that He is love, and we refuse to let the enemy shut us down in unbelief, when we begin to cry out daily, God, please open my heart up to Your love. It is the power of the gospel. And every day I'm going to receive it by faith how much You love me. And I will not be condemned out of the place in your heart, that I'm going to live every day rising up, blessing Your name, because You love me and You gave Yourself for me. You died that I would have life, that I may have life in every part of my life, that I may have seed life in every person I pray for. You died for this life, and I'm going to rise up and believe it. It's a promise You've given, the promise of life in Christ Jesus, and I receive it. I'm going to give power and love. I'm going to have a sound mind, because I'll tell you, the enemy will go after a sound mind. The enemy will try to tell us, to say, you have no right to pray that way. You have ruined it for yourself, and you have ruined any hope of turning your life around. You have ruined the hope of those lives that you have touched and influenced for wrong, where you've abandoned or your hand has touched them, where you have failed them. Beloved, we have the power of a sound mind. That means that we're going to get a mind renewed that says, Jesus, You make all things new. And I'm going to pray life into that situation. I'm going to pray Your presence into that situation. And I'm not going to let You shut down my mind to say I have to live in the regret of yesterday. You've broken that, Jesus. You're changing me. I am a new creature in You. I have a new ability to pray. I have a new ability to believe You. And as I pray for the lives that I may have touched for ill, You will come and give me faith, and You're going to give me eyes to see that You will make all things new, that You will make all things work together for good, and that You're going to unify us, and that I'm not going to be shut down to the hope and the promise of life in unity and reconciliation and forgiveness, that we're going to be a new kind of family, that we're going to have a new hope and a new future, because Jesus, You are the promise of life, and I'm going to rise up and believe it. Hallelujah. And not one here tonight should leave under the power of the enemy shutting down our mind to hope, to shut down our mind to pray believing prayers. Because the promise of life is in Christ Jesus. He is promising us this new life in Him. And all that have the Spirit of Christ have this new promise of life, no matter what kind of death. Read it for yourself. 2 Timothy 1, Jesus Christ has abolished death. And every situation of death we give Him, He turns it into life and more life. Hallelujah. Will you stand and pray with me? Hallelujah. I would like to open this altars for those that are saying, no more regret. I'm not living in any more regret, and I'm not living in the fear. I'm not living under the power of the enemy, shutting me down to unbelief in those certain areas of my life. I would like all those that are going to join me here at this altar and are going to believe God for the promise of life in areas where there are death in their life. The Lord's presence is here. The presence of the Lord is here to heal us and renew the spirit of our mind, to give us the mind of Christ, to be able to pray as Christ sees the situation, to pray with understanding as Christ understands it, to pray with a new beginning and a new hope. Those that have been, that you know the gospel and you want to love and trust, but somehow there's something that sits on your spirit, and every time you go to pray, all you can do is cry and beat yourself up. When you go to pray, there doesn't seem to be any hope in that situation. You can believe for others. You can fully believe for certain situations, but there is a darkness, and there's that area that you know in your heart you cannot believe for. But we're going to come, and we're going to believe God, because His presence is here. And He is going to renew us in the spirit of our mind. He is going to give us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a sound mind in this place. And there's many here, no matter what age you are, you're going to have the testimony of my mother. Never too late. Turned around, restored. Filled with joy, filled with light, filled with the power to pray, the power to love, the power to believe, and in her death to bring people to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight is a night of new beginnings. Will you open? Just open your hearts now. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, that we come in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know the power of the enemy to oppress through fear, through regret, through the power of unreleased things in the heart. Now, Lord, you are the Lord of all. And I ask you to come now. Every mind that needs deliverance from fear, every mind that needs deliverance from the oppressive power of guilt, from regret, where the mind is shut down and not able to believe you. God, I ask you to come now. Jesus, I ask you to come. And I ask you to touch now every mind and every heart in this place, oh God, that knows they need deliverance, that they know they need your touch of life in this area of death. I ask you, God, to honor yourself by coming now and touching every mind and every heart that is asking you, is crying out to you. Lord, you are faithful and you are love. God, you are power. Oh God, now I ask you to release now, release from the bondage, release from the chains, release from the prisons. Everyone, oh God, that comes in your name is crying out to you. And I thank you, God, as you release my mother, as you release so many in this sanctuary, Lord, from this power of the oppression of the enemy. I thank you, Lord, you're coming now and you're bringing healing and you're bringing that deliverance. God, I thank you. I ask you now for the mind of Christ. I ask you for the Spirit of Christ to reign in our minds. I ask you, oh God, to release us from the power of the enemy. Break the chains of darkness. Break the chains of generations. Break the pains of depression from generations past. Bring your Holy Spirit now and light us up, oh God. Light up every darkened corner of the mind. Only you can do it. Lord, come in your power and your presence. Lord, give us the power now to pray. Give us the power to forgive. Give us the power to pray believing prayers. Send us out, God, with a heart full of love where we could never love before. Release us, oh God. Jesus, only you can. But we thank you now. We open our heart to this new beginning for the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, there is the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, we stand by faith and we receive the promise of life. Dispel the death. Dispel the darkness. Now, Lord, we're going to go out praising you because we believe the promise of life in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There is life in you, Jesus. There is life in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, Lord, by faith, we claim a new beginning. We claim a new way of thinking. We claim a new way of praying. We claim a new way of living. We claim a new way of loving. We claim a new way of forgiving. We claim a new way of walking. We claim a new way, oh God, of walking with you day by day. Thank you for breaking the bondage off us that we need to be superstars. We just need, Lord, to live every day with you, Jesus, in the power of your love. Thank you, Lord. You're going to use us powerfully because we're not going to be looked to be used powerfully. We're just going to look to be used by you and loved by you, and you will do something extraordinary through our faith. Thank you, Lord. You have come. You are touching us, oh God. We have a new beginning. It is only in Jesus. Thank you for this new beginning. Thank you, Lord. Only you can do this. Thank you, Lord, a green tree now and life flowing through us. Now, beloved, I want you to accept it by faith. That's what we do. You receive Christ by faith. Receive the promise of a new mind by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We receive the promise of life by faith. It's a promise of life in Christ Jesus. Every day, let us receive that promise. Every day, let's claim it. It's ours. It was given to us. It's ours. If we are in Christ, the promise of life in Christ is ours. Every day, every part of death must yield to life. Everything of darkness must yield to light. If we every day will access the promise of life in Christ Jesus, we are transformed creatures. This is not my word, but this is His word. And I saw it in my mother's life. I'm going to see it in yours, and you're going to see it in mine. We walk humbly, we walk dependent, we walk honest, we walk real, but we walk powerfully because we trust the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bless God. Bless the Lord. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for how you have so spoken powerfully, Lord, more powerfully than I've heard in a long time, into our hearts. God, because your word is a spiritual word, and it takes root in a spiritual way. God, thank you for speaking to us tonight so powerfully. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. We thank you, God, for the testimonies that are going to walk out of this house tonight and never turn back, lives that are never going to turn back, going to believe you right to the grave. God, we will see you faithful to everything that you've promised. Not just us, our houses, our homes, God, our families will come to you. They will know you, Lord, because we claim them for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for this. With all of our heart, we thank you, God. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.